to First Presbyterian Church. We have a few announcements this morning. Please take note of the poinsettia order form in the bulletin. Please also note that the order forms must be returned by November 11th, that's next Sunday. A reminder that we have a family night supper this Wednesday, November 7th. It is a covered dish meal, so please bring a dish to share. There is no fee for the meal. Drinks and dessert will be provided by the church. After the Apostles' Creed, we will sing hymn number 543, Abide With Me. Sign-up sheet for the Thanksgiving lunch ministry is in the juice room along with the cake. Evening Circle will meet on Monday at 7 p.m. at the home of Sandra Strange. And now I would like to invite the folks providing a minute for stewardship and a minute for the pastor nominating committee.
Good morning. Dictionary.com defines a tithe as a part or of a personal income set apart as an offering of God or for works of mercy or the same amount regarded as an obligation or tax for the support of the church, priesthood, or the like. Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord. Stewardship not only means tithing, but also giving of your time and talents. And this Wednesday night at our supper, the finance committee will be going over how your tithes are going to be used in our church for the upcoming year. 1 Peter 4:10 says, based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others as good managers of the varied grace of God. We welcome everyone to join the chancel or handbell choir. I'm not a music major, but I love singing praises to God. And handbells, I can tell you, is one of my greatest stress relievers. So we welcome anyone who would like to join us at any time. You do the best with what God has given you. Serve as an officer of the church. Join the many committees that this church has to offer. All committees are open to all members. We welcome any who want to volunteer to teach Sunday school for children or in adults, serve at the Saturday lunch ministry, and help with family night dinners, do a bulletin board, and the list just goes on. There are so many needs that we could use your help with. Every task is as great as you share your time and talents with this church and the Lord. Open your heart to what God is calling you to do. And I will close with 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 7. Remember this, the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Thank you.
I come this morning as the chairman of your pastor nominating committee to give you an update of our progress to date since our commissioning on July the 15th. But I'd like to start by saying it's a very humbling task, and we continue to need your prayers continuously, both for this church, our committee, and for the person whose God is leading to talk with us and eventually be our new leader. We've completed some difficult tasks. We have completed the church mission information form, which previously, for those of you all who might have served on a prior committee, would have been known as the church information form. It's been approved by our session and by the presbytery and is now live online at the Church Leadership Connection, which is a national situation of software program, where those who are interested in finding opportunities can go. they post their information sheet and we get a match. We, in our first pass, after running that program, have received 34 information sheets from different candidates. So that's just the very beginning, week one of our tasks to get together. To let you know about the work of the committee, we meet every Wednesday afternoon at 5. Our meetings are continuing to be confidential and will remain thereafter unless you hear from one of us at a pastoral nominating committee announcement to the congregation. We're being supported fairly actively by Carl Utley, the interim presbytery director, and by John Collins, a colleague through the Presbytery of the Peaks. For those of you all who may be new to the Presbyterian denomination, the Presbytery of the Peaks does have a role to play in vetting the candidates for ministry in this region, as well as our committee has a very serious role. Once both of us agree and a candidate is identified and a candidate agrees that yes, maybe this is God's call in their life, then we can make further announcements. As we go forward, we will try to let you know. Feel free to contact us. One of the things I want to make sure that we get off to a clear understanding, if you furnish us a name or a contact, we will just thank you. We do not commit to giving you feedback. We will only say thank you and proceed. Our role is to, what we have been taught very carefully by the presbytery leadership, is that we will speak to candidates directly and will not share outside of the committee meeting what we felt one way or the other, because there's no win to that. We'll let you know as we go forward how we're doing, but our first shot is to look at the first 34 resumes that have been received, or pastor information forms, and we continue to need your prayers. This is going to be a long journey. Thank you.
Please join me in the responsive call to worship found printed in your bulletin. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. The Lord lives. lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteousness.
The Lord will reign forever, for God is Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Let us worship God. Let us join together in Hymn of Praise 139, Come Thou Almighty King. It is right and proper that we humble ourselves before God and acknowledge that we have fallen short of being the people God created us to be. Please join me in the responsive prayer of confession, and then in silence let us admit God what lies hidden in our hearts. O God, give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it.
Christ, have mercy upon us, since we take the light and serve our men.
Turn my eyes from looking at vanities and give me life in your ways.
Christ, have mercy upon us, because your salvation comes to me.
Behold, I long for your precepts, and your righteousness give me life.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Amen. Please join in the assurance of pardon. The testimony of Scripture affirms our pardon when we hear the words, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to worship the living God?"
In Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts, that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the day when judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab to live. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dear husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud, and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, but if ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you to the choir and to Heather for a beautiful, beautiful anthem. We turn to our gospel lesson, to the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter, beginning in the 28th verse. A very familiar passage, one that is a powerful message to us in today's world. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said, he is one, and beside him there is no other, and to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to them, or said to him, 'You are not far off from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared to ask him any question." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of the hardest things, some of the hardest scripture passages to preach on, are the ones that are most familiar, that are most read. Things like the 23rd Psalm, Romans 8, John 3:16, the Great Commission, and this question about the great commandment. It is found in all the Gospels in one form or another. And so we come to our passage from Mark today, which is his version of the greatest commandment. And as I approached this and I was reading it over, I was stuck. I have preached it so many times in 31 years, probably at least 31 times in 31 years. It's a message that is so clear to me that it is a challenge to come up with something new to say about it, or some new way to bring this crystal clear message. On Thursdays, I get together with Ajoa Casa, and we get together and we talk about the scriptures. It gives her a chance to practice her English, and for both of us to share our thoughts on the text for this week. And I thank her because she was able to help get me unstuck when it came to writing this sermon. We were talking about this text and about both the texts that we read, both the one that Rachel read from Ruth and also our New Testament lesson in Mark. And as we were talking about our Old Testament reading from Ruth, we began talking about the concept of who is our neighbor and what it means to love our God with all our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we talked about how in the Old Testament, Ruth gives us an excellent example of how to love someone as much as we love ourselves. When Ruth tells Naomi, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Where your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die." This is a declaration of love and faithfulness that is the very definition of loving someone, of pledging your life to them, that exemplifies exactly what Jesus is teaching about in Mark. Even Ruth's name is important to the story. Ruth literally means to be a companion, to satisfy with water, as if you're parched and you are coming to a well and able to slake your thirst, and also a blessing. She becomes all of that to her mother-in-law, even when custom or tradition would dictate that she was not required to do so, and in fact was probably worse off for following her mother-in-law. She could have turned back, just as her sister-in-law Orpah did. She could have followed the easy path, gone back to her family of birth, gotten another husband somewhere else, but her love and her devotion to her mother-in-law becomes a blessing to Naomi, transforming Naomi's bitterness into joy, and ultimately she is a blessing to the family of God. She plays a crucial role in the people of God as the great-grandmother to King David and an ancestor to Jesus. God does this all the time, brings in these surprises. Ruth is one of the few women in this long list of ancestors, all the way from Adam, all the way up into and Abraham, all the way up to Jesus. So it's a surprise. And yet she is the very embodiment of what loving your neighbor can do, and how God can use that devotion, that close kind of love, to carry out his purposes wherever he needs to. And before you say, well, she was really much closer to Naomi than just a neighbor, this is where Ajoa helped me, because she pointed out to me, where do you learn to be a neighbor? You learn to be a neighbor, first of all, in your family. That's where you learn some of the clearest lessons about loving yourself and loving other people. It should be where you learn about loving God and neighbor as well. The family should be where we learn that we ourselves are lovable, where we learn that our God loved us so much that we should return that love whenever and wherever we can. That is where we should learn to love our neighbors, not just as the people next door, not just as the people inside of our house, but to love every single person, regardless of their place of origin, their race, their religion, their political party, or any of those other human-created divisions that we so please in dividing our lives up into. In a world where we see so many shrinking definitions of who our neighbor is, or who we should be loving, or who we should be rejecting, Jesus expands our perspective with the one thing that breaks down all those divisions: with love. Love of God and love of neighbor gives all those other laws that the scribes knew very well their meaning. You know, 600 and some laws that they had developed over the course of time, and yet they all are made meaningful by God's love. We make laws for various reasons. We make laws to protect our communities, to protect our families, to protect our nation. We have that underlying understanding that we love the people that are within our group. We want to define ourselves. We want to make ourselves distinct, to bring our civilization together so that we can protect ourselves from harm, both collectively and individually. But then there are other laws. The Jews, the scribes, had those 613. We have some interesting examples of some laws that I'm not too sure exactly what they were trying to protect or what they were thinking about. For example, if you're in North Dakota, beer and pretzels cannot be served at the same time in any bar or restaurant. In Alaska, this was interesting, it is illegal to push a live moose out of a moving airplane. In Florida, if an elephant is left tied to a parking meter, the parking fee has to be paid just as if you were riding in a vehicle. And if not the most bizarre, then certainly the most obvious is in Alabama, it is illegal for a driver to be blindfolded while driving a vehicle. Now that one I can understand what they're trying to protect. Most of all, laws trace their genesis to a need to protect someone for something. And maybe 50 years ago or some other time, there was a gold miner that was minding his own business outside Nome, Alaska, when he was suddenly killed by a falling moose from the sky. And some lawmaker vowed that it would never happen again in Alaska. But laws usually come out of that idea of trying to protect ourselves. Jesus and the scribe in our passage agree about these laws, agree of what is the most important when it comes to the law. Love God with everything you have, with everything you are, love your neighbor as yourself. There are very few things. In fact, there's really only one thing that Jesus and the scribes ever agree on in the Gospels, and it is this particular point. He tells the scribes, "You are not far off from the kingdom of God." He tells the scribes, and he tells us, "For neither are we." We are not far off. Most of the time, we realize that we are not far away from understanding what it is we need to do to worship God, what it is we need to do to have a relationship with God, to be able to experience God's grace and share it with others. We realize it's not that complicated. The problem comes when we have to do what we know is required. Any three-year-old, I love going in and doing the chapel service for the 3 and 4 year olds in day school. And any three-year-old knows that you are to share with your classmates and to play nicely with other people. A lot of times, unless they're tired, they do a great job of practicing what they are taught. But the older that we get, and the more that we acquire, the more difficult it becomes to share and play nicely with others. There is more to love than getting an extra toy or an extra grape juice box. Our sense of who we are becomes more defined, and so we become more and more protective of it, and we are confronted with different points of view that we may not agree with, different cultural or geographical backgrounds that we may not appreciate. But we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's an often overlooked word in this sentence, the as. As is commonly misread to mean as much as. But in this passage, it means more in the same way that. Think about a similar sentence in Matthew 5:48, where it says, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." That does not mean to be as perfect as God is, but rather we are to be as perfect or integrated in the way that God is. One is impossible. The other is very possible with God's help. We are to love our neighbors in the way that we are loved. And in the way that we love ourselves. We are to be tolerant of. We are to have time for. We are to be interested in. We are to make excuses for. We are to deeply desire the welfare of our neighbor in the same way that we have this attitude toward ourselves. But that assumes a lot. It assumes that we love ourselves. Jesus teaches us how to do that as well. We learn to love ourselves because we are to gain our self-esteem and our self-love from the fact that God first loved us. He loves us warts and all. He loves us sins and all. He loves us faults and foibles and failures and all. And finally, Mark adds that that love of neighbor and the love of God is far more precious than all the burnt offerings and the sacrifices that they used to do in the temple, and far more precious to God than anything we offer in today's church. Now, I hesitate to say that, as next week we are having our stewardship Sunday and asking people to dedicate their tithes and give of their talents and their gifts for the benefit of this church and for the benefit of our neighbors and in recognition of the preciousness of our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not that they aren't important. It's just that as important as those dedications and those gifts are, God wants more from us. God wants more than just our gifts. He wants our total dedication. God wants our love to flow from ourselves to our neighbors, and most especially to Him. Leonard Sweet had an interesting description about, well, how are we to do that? And he has a description of how are we to train ourselves in godliness. What do we do first? Where can we go to find a good trainer with an impressive success record? We go right to Jesus. The answer lies in today's gospel lesson, where Jesus recites the training mantra of the Shema. As an observant Jew, Jesus recited this combination of confession and prayer to God twice a day during his morning and evening prayers. And while sticking to this twice-a-day ritual was itself a training regimen, it is the message of the Shema that Jesus embodied so perfectly, and which offers us all a way toward offering ourselves to God in genuine godliness. Shema training builds the heart, the soul, the mind, and the strength. No element of human existence is excluded from this training in the faith. The exercise of the Shema allows no parts of our being to remain flabby or unattended. Does love of God overwhelm and overcome your heart? Make every heartbeat keep pace with God's love for you. Does the love of God inform your mind? Make love the mainspring of all your thoughts. Does love of God penetrate your soul, making your every prayer a plea not for yourself and your own desires, but an offering formed and normed by love? And finally, does love of God flow through the strength of your body, making your every step a step toward love in action? That's what we need to do. If we do that, then we will know that we, like the scribe, are not far from the kingdom of God. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed, which can be found in the Aids to Worship. Let us profess together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us remain standing and sing the hymn that we had, Abide With Me, number 543.
Thank you.
Please be seated. I'm not sure what happened with the bulletin today. Forgot a few things. That hymn, and we also forgot the prayers of the people, but we'll include those right now. Do we have any other additions, additional prayers or joys that folks would like to share today? The Withers family?
Wickers.
Wickers, okay. Family, okay. Yes. Joyce Crawford and
Odell
Brett. Odell Brett, okay. Okay. Other joys or concerns? Sometimes you have to wave at them pretty hot. All right, well, let's turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you this day realizing that you are our merciful Creator. Hear our prayers as we give you the honor and praise due to your glorious name. We thank you for Jesus, who himself offered prayers and supplications to you. He partook of humanity so that through death he might destroy the power of evil once and for all. He suffered on our behalf, yet without sinning. And in his anguish he cried up unto you on our behalf. Through that sacrifice, we know the blessed assurance that death has been conquered, that we overcome, or that he overcame the grave. And we ask that you would remember those who mourn this day. Bring comfort and strength to the families in the time of their grief. For the Wickers family, for the family of Joyce Crawford and Odell Bradley, bring them comfort and strength, just as you have brought their loved ones eternal salvation. Lord, we also this day praise your name for his passage through the heaven, and that he prepared that way for us into your glorious sanctuary. We give you thanks that by his death and resurrection, he tore asunder the veil that kept us from, or keeps us from, beholding your glory. He taught the commandments. He assured their fulfillment in your glory. We give you thanks that in him we can faithfully walk the path of discipleship. He teaches us what it means to obey, and part of that teaching is that we pray for others. We ask for healing mercy, for guidance and strength, for deliverance from evil, and whatever the needs may be, for those that we hold in our hearts and those we name here. We lift up to you by name Amy, Lisa, Charles and Liv, Matthew, Diane, Jay and Diane. We continue to hold in our prayers Martha Jo, Gail, Beth and Bill, Jane, Ellen, Lee and Dana. Hear our prayers for Freel, for Ella, for Jim, for Joe, for Ben, for Helen and Nulty. Lord, we continue to pray for our service personnel, both in this country and throughout the world. Protect them, guide them, so that they may bring about a peace and a justice through your guidance, through your strength, and bring them home, O Lord. We pray for our first responders, who come to us in the time of some of our greatest needs, and we ask that you would be with them and protect them in this dangerous mission. We pray for those still recovering from various natural disasters, Tropical Storm Michael and Florence and others that have beset this world. We ask that you would be with our nation as it goes to the polls. Help and guide them, everyone that goes to vote, that our nation may continue to be strong and a beacon of hope to the world. Lord, hear our prayers and bind us together as your people, praying the prayer that your Son taught us when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Will the ushers please come forward for the morning offering?
Thank you.
Let us pray. Redeeming God, cleansed by your mercy, sustained by your grace, and led by your righteousness, we come before you bearing our gifts. Purify them to serve your purpose and nurture us to act according to your will, so that all we have and do may bring justice on the earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our final hymn is number 439, In Christ There Is No East or West.